1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, and then verse 7 is our scripture reading this morning. It says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For we know what commandments we gave unto you by the Lord Jesus, and this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." Then in verse 7, "For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." Walking by faith is the title of the message this morning. I think all of us know what it is to walk. Virginia and I did more, a few months back than we're doing now. In fact, we're not doing any walking now. I'll just be honest with you, not going to, as Sherry said, "I'm going to tell you the truth." But, when you walk, they say it's good for your health. Keeps you, fit and trim, and kind of keeps off the unwanted pounds. But it's a terrible thing to walk. There's nothing to do when you walk but just walk, And after a while, you figure out, well, we ought to at least talk, And so walking, if it's for nothing else, is good for talking. And that's good for relationships. If you guys don't know that, you don't need to just come in and sit down in the easy chair and don't talk. Don't clam up, but communicate. Let her know how much you love her and how much you missed her and how much you appreciate that big supper that you hope you are going to get. Amen. Well, the Christian life, Sherry, bless your heart. The Christian life can be compared to a walk. In fact, this is one of Paul's favorite word pictures. He tells us, "Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called," in Ephesians 4:1. And then, "Walk not as the Gentiles walk," in Ephesians 4, verse 17. And then in Ephesians 5:2, he says, "Walk in love." And then in Ephesians 5:8, "Walk as children of the light." Now, the Christian life begins with a step of faith, and that step leads to a walk of faith. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Now, walking suggests that we make progress in our Christian life and that we go on unto perfection. And that's what he tells us in Hebrews chapter 6. "Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works." Walking also demands strength. And God has promised, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." Now, we must be sure to walk in the light as he is in the light. For the devil, our enemy, has laid out before us traps and detours, and we need the light in order to show us the way to walk. But then, at the end of life's walk, we will step into the very presence of God himself. The Bible said, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Well, Paul described the threefold walk for the Christian for us to be able to follow in order to make heaven our home. He starts out in verses 1 through 8 that we are to walk in holiness. Now, the moral climate in the Roman Empire in the day in which this was written was not healthy. Immorality was a way of life, and thanks to slavery, people had the leisure time to indulge themselves in the latest pleasures. Now, the Christian message of holy living was new to the culture, and it was not easy for these young Christians that had not been servants of the Lord very long to fight the temptations that was around them. So Paul gave four reasons why that they should live a holy life and to abstain from sensual lust. Now we should live a healthy and a holy life in order that we might please God. Now everybody lives to please somebody. Many people live to please themselves. They had no sensitivity to the needs of others. I was talking to some as they were coming in, and I made mention of the fact, to Justine, how that it was my job to bring in the cash and take out the trash. You know, Brian was talking about that he got her to drive. He said, "I'm tired, honey. Would you mind driving this morning?" And he said she didn't even complain. She just jumped behind the wheel. Well, we want to please one another, don't we? And I think that's exactly what we want to do as a child of God. We want to please our Lord. William Hazlitt wrote, "The soul of a journey is liberty, perfect liberty, to think, to feel, to do just as one pleases." Now that might work on a vacation for a few days, but it will not work in everyday life. Christians cannot go through life just trying to please themselves. It is possible now to please others and God at the same time, but it is also possible for a person to be more concerned about the world and they can dishonor God. "For if I please men, I should not be the servant of Jesus Christ." So it reminds us that we are under a new commander-in-chief, and we may not always understand, we may not always totally kind of comprehend what God wants us to do, but it's not ours to question, it's ours simply to obey God and do what He has commanded of us. Now, pleasing God ought to be the major motive of the Christian life. Christians should live to please their Father. Enoch walked with God, and before God called him to heaven, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Don't you want more than anything else to be like Enoch and to be like Job? And God can say, "Look at my servant Job," and be proud of how they're living, and be pleased with the fact of their Christian testimony. Jesus said, "I do always those things that please Him," that is God the Father. Jesus Christ, His purpose in life was that He might please God the Father and make plans for our redemption in His death on the cross. Now, pleasing God means much more than simply doing God's will. It is possible for us to obey God and yet not please Him. And a good case in point is Jonah that we preached about the other week. He obeyed God. He did what God called him to do, even though he was reluctant. And God had to get him between a rock and a hard spot in that belly of the whale in order to get his attention. But when God got his attention, then he was ready to go and do what God wanted him to do. But he didn't like it. He was aggravated as he sat there on the hillside. He was aggravated at God and the people for the fact of him having to do what he did. Now God blessed his word and he saved the people. But he was not happy with his servant Jonah. Well, our obedience should not be with eye service as men pleasers, the Bible said, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. And then secondly, to please God, we need to obey him. Now, when he ministered in Thessalonica, Paul gave the believers the commandments of God regarding personal purity. Now, the word commandment is a military term. It refers to orders that's being handed down from superior officers, and we must obey the orders. Well, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. And he uses that as an analogy that we as Christians, we're here not to please ourselves, but we're here to please God. And don't you want to please him this morning? Don't you want to hear him say at the end of life journey, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And God is not going to lie. He's going to tell the truth. If you've been faithful, if you are one that loves him, God knows it. He's omniscient. Well, in verse 2, Paul reminded these new believers that sexual immorality did not please God. God created sex, and he has the authority to govern its use. The established marriage, or he established marriage as a sacred union between one man and one woman. And marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled or pure. The seventh commandment says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And this builds a wall around marriage that makes the relationship not a prison, but a safe and beautiful garden. And he has told us clearly, abstain from fornication. And that is a command of God. And no amount of liberal theology or modern philosophy can change that. God has given us his commands. God's purpose is our sanctification. He wants us to grow in grace and in knowledge and be more and more like him every day. You know, a person that is an alcoholic, now they drink and it impairs their ability to function. I mean, if somebody's drunk, they wobble, you know. They can't hardly stand up. And they don't talk right. They don't act right. And they do a lot of things that if they were not drunk, that they wouldn't have done. But it shows in their conduct, you can see the results of alcohol. Well, the same thing is true of sin. Brethren, sin will mar you. It will scar you. Sin will destroy you. And it's obvious, you can tell someone who's lived a hard life. Someone that's lived in the depths of sin and alcohol and drugs and living away from God. You can see it all over their countenance. I'm here to remind you this morning that God wants us to live pure lives, not only for our health down here, but he wants us to live pure lives that we might be pleasing unto him. You can tell folks, don't do this, it'll hurt you. And I've been a pastor for a long time, and I've counseled with a lot of people. And it's amazing how little they listen to what you have to say. You may have the truth, and you may know what's best for them, but that doesn't mean they're always going to do it. A lot of times, They listen, but they don't listen. They hear, but they don't hear. And they go on and live their life of sin. Well, another reason why we ought to want to please God is to escape the judgment of God. God is no respecter of persons. He will deal with his children when they sin. Now, a church member criticized her pastor because he was preaching about sin in the lives of Christians. After all, she said, sin in the life of a believer is different from sin in the life of unsaved people. To which the pastor responded, yes, it is. It is worse because the Christian knows better. When King David committed adultery, he tried to cover up his sin. You remember he lied. You remember that he even committed murder. He contributed to it. He tried to do everything he could to cover up his sin. But Nathan the prophet came by the instruction of God and pointed that bony finger at him and said, David, thou art the man. And God brought judgment upon him. The Bible tells us that David repented, and we see his repentance in Psalms 32 and 51. And when David confessed his sins, God forgave him of all of his sins. But he could not remove the consequence of reaping what you sow. You see, a person may repent. And like David, he repented, God forgave him. But the Bible said that the sword never left his house all the rest of his days. He paid and he paid and he paid for his sin. But it's better to pay for it down here than in eternity. It's better to be right with God. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy. A holy walk involves a right relationship with God the Father. He's the one who called us. God the Son, the one who died for us. And God the Holy Spirit, the one who lives within us. You see, the reason why that our body is the temple of God is simply because it's where the Holy Spirit of God resides. He will not dwell in an unclean vessel, but he indwells our lives and he helps us to be pure and holy and he leads us in the right paths. We need to be submissive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. How does the Spirit of God help us to live a clean life from not only sexual impurities, but all impurities? To begin with, he creates a holy desire within us so that we have an appetite for the Word of God. God's Word is that which guides us and instructs us in how to live. God didn't leave us down here without any kind of course to chart our way, but he has given us the Word of God. Study the Word to show yourself a servant pleasing unto the Lord. And then secondly, he teaches us the Word and helps us to recall it at critical times within our hearts and lives when we need it. That's what God does. The Word of God is spiritually discerned. It comes to us as we study it. When we have needs, God will bring it to our attention, and it helps us to get through a difficult time. Isn't God wonderful to take care of us? He not only saves us, but he will sustain us. And he'll take us all the way to heaven if we'll let him. How important it is that we obey God. I'm here to remind you this morning that one of these days we're all going to stand before God and account for the life that we've lived. The Bible says it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I don't care how hard you try, you're going to die. You know, I don't like to think about it, but you know, as I get a little older, I think more about it than I used to. Because I know It's not going to be long. I'm going to be walking on the streets of glory. Amen. Isn't that wonderful to think? You live down here, it gets kind of tough sometimes. You know, I was out yesterday in that heat, and I was mowing the yard, and I weed-eated, and she's sitting in there in a cool house. No, she wanted to come out and help, but you know, there won't be any grass to cut in heaven. Yeah, isn't that wonderful, Jerry? And there won't be any sin there. There won't be any problems there anymore, you know? Down here you have, how many of you have never had a problem? You say, preacher, I've had problems all of my life. That's the way it is down here. And it's because of sin, inherent sin, we have problems. But up there, there won't be any problems. And you know what? There won't be any sickness either. There won't be any pain. There won't be any kinds of arthritis or bursitis, and you'll have it later, Jerry. But all that will be gone up there. You know, it's just kind of, if you don't have it now, just wait a while. It's coming. But it's good to be a Christian, isn't it? It's good to know where you're going. You know, when I get ready to go on a trip, I'd get out the maps. Now then, I just plug it in the GPS, you know, and let that woman talk me all the way, you know, to where I'm going. And hope she knows what she's doing. Are you going to heaven? It starts out with a step of faith. It leads to a walk of faith. And one of these days, that walk will take you all the way to the other side. It's appointed unto a man once to die, the other half of that verse. But their judgment, it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment is coming. That's two things you can't avoid. Are you ready? That's the question. Are you ready? Don't you want to go to heaven? Amen. 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 Let's bow for prayer.